Yeah, of course. Go.
The fruit, the fruit
Right.
When I'm bearing fruit, it's not for me to
eat. Right.
My fruit that I bear is for
others. Yes, others see it. Others see it.
But that's to be, I don't want to say feed off of, but I'm supposed to produce fruit for
Right,
others.
Right. Right, and that's where I'm going with the end of this. And this is why I hesitated whether I wanted to read this passage when we're talking about discipleship, because this often becomes a self-centered one. Remember, we said here, and these are the throwing down the gauntlet as we talk about discipleship. We're not here to build individual Christians' holiness. We're here to build healthy churches. See, that's the difference. You go, wait, but individual Christians are healthy. No, individual Christians that are tied to one another as living stones, because then the others benefit from the fruit, and then we go to the other passages that'll talk about how the Father is glorified, like 1 Peter 2, in how and Ephesians 4, that talk about the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body. Well, where's the proper working of each individual part? Well, here it is. The other thing we've said is we're focusing on the roots, not the fruits. And you say, wait, the fruits are the focus. No, the fruits are the result, like Tracy's saying. You'll see them. You'll see them. But the Father is glorified. So you don't go, my fruit, my fruit, my fruit. Look at my fruit. Look at my fruit, right? But the fruits prove. So then you go back and you start saying, wait, there's no joy. Well, I got to find joy. Oh, I finally found a group of Christians, or I found a book, or I found a Bible study. That brought me joy. Well, be careful, because otherwise the tool becomes the source. The vine is the source. That's why, remember what we're working on here? We're working on churches that, remember we watched the Nine Marks clip there, he said, looking for healthy churches who love God. What are healthy churches who love God filled with? Ones who follow Jesus and who help others follow Jesus. Who follow Jesus and who help others follow Jesus. Well, here it is. Follow Jesus. Here is what it's looking like. And then, see, now it's going to play out. Like Tracy's saying, others are going to see the fruit and they're going to either glorify your Father who's in heaven, Matthew 5:16, or look at verse 18 of John 15. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me. You go, look, God's glorious. I obeyed his words. I love him. His joy is coming out of me. And you don't get it. You hate me for it. Well, whatever. There's tension. There's conflict. Well, then he says, okay, if the world hated me, it'll hate you. So you don't go get your sticker from everybody else with that. That's not that. That's why we're looking not for the fruits. We're looking at the roots. Where's the source of your joy? The source of your love? The source of your obedience? The healthier a church gets, the more you'll be able to have the structure of a church, and it won't bother you. You won't feel like McDonald's or Burger King. Well, I like the structure here better. I like it. Then we are. I said, we're still a young church, 25th anniversary. We're still young, trying to get established, as we've all come from different backgrounds, and we haven't gotten through all the polity differences, you know, of leadership, committees, all those other kind of things. How does that work together? Well, you've gotten a hodgepodge of some of our backgrounds, but you know what? I've seen in healthy churches, you say, well, I disagree with their polity, and all of a sudden you watch, yeah, but it seems like it's healthy. Well, I disagree with their polity. Oh, that seems pretty healthy. It doesn't mean that polity doesn't matter. It means that the source matters. The more Christians are tied to the head of the church, Christ, the head of the church, the more then you're going to have this kind of relationship with God. Your love comes from God. Your joy comes from God. Your obedience comes from God. And it translates into each other. Remember? My negative goal for the church members here, that we would be the best disagreeing members a church has ever had. What does that mean? We're not slow to just go, oh, I love my church, I agree with everything. And we're also not going, that's it, I'm done with that, I disagree with them, what's wrong with them? You know, we can't have it both ways. You can't say the room is full of sinners and then expect us all to be holy. And you go, yeah, but they should at least, you're right, at least what? Live with one another, you know, in with husbands with your wives, live with your wife in an understanding way. You go, well, then how do you expect Christians, and we're not married that way. Oh, but wait, we're tied by the same vine. Ephesians, is Christ divided? So just quickly here, you go to Galatians 4, you go to Galatians 4, and you realize what this is going to look like here. You know, you say, well, okay, let's just worship together and obey the scriptures and do what all our consciences say. And, well, as long as we mean well, then it'll turn out okay. Well, how about Galatians 4:12? This is one of the passages we've been looking at, referring to. I beg of you, brethren, become as I am. For I've also become as you are. We're jumping right in the middle of an argument. I'm not even going to try to explain all of it. Just start here. I beg of you. You've done me no wrong. You know that it was because of a bodily illness that I preached the gospel to you the first time. That which was a trial to you in my bodily condition, you did not despise or loathe. You received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. Where then is that sense of blessing you had? I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me. So what is this? Him desperately in need of respect, right? Just read this morning, March Madness is over, but that coach, that Long Beach whatever, wasn't he was in the first round. He finally made it to the final, made it to March Madness. He's the only one of the coaches that made it to March Madness that got fired. They got fired because what?
He was fired before that.
Yes. Yes, he was fired, and they took him to March. It was a big deal because it was like a one of those nothing schools, and all of a sudden it's there, all right? And he's like, I've been there forever. I've watched my kids grow up. They grew up in the office with me, and now I have no job. He goes, I did my taxes, did my lawn, and I guess my taxes will be easier next year. He goes, I don't have a job. But it was like his identity is tied up in that. Well, here, Paul, do you need a little church to give you a little identity here? Well, what's he doing? He's not just vying for affection. Watch this. He says, so if I become your enemy by telling you the truth? Oh, we're going to argue about what's the truth. Groups of believers are going to wrestle with what's the truth. Abide in me. Obey my words. It's not just the words. Well, what do those words mean? Well, keep going. Well, they eagerly seek you, not commendably, but they wish to shut you out so that you will seek them. But it is good always to be eagerly sought in a commendable manner, not only when I am present with you. Remember what we said? They eagerly seek you. Who's that? The others who are telling them the truth. And now all of a sudden, as they're telling them the truth, Paul says, you don't think I'm telling you the truth. Oh. But then he says, it's good to be eagerly sought in a commendable manner, not only when I'm present with you, my children, with whom I am again in labor, until Christ is formed in you. The youth group for a couple months has been saying, I said it's a good pattern to start with. It's not all the definition of a church, but they've been saying the work of a church, Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, through whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. If you look at that part, it's all dependent on his, if my words abide in you, then where do those words grow? We are to grow in all aspects. And you go, yes, I want to grow. Yes, I want to grow. But some of that is going to include in the wrestle of conflict of saying, I thought that's what it meant. I'm not sure now. Remember what we've said? We need to be changing in here. I don't like conflict. You don't like conflict. But there's going to be a little bit of conflict in your own souls with growth. Come on, you had any kids? You remember it yourself with growing pains? You come out and your legs hurt, and your mom says, go back to bed, it's normal. It's like, no, it's not normal, it hurts. I'm in labor until Christ is formed in you. You look at some of these other passages, Colossians 2, remember that one? I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and on behalf of all those who haven't seen my face, that you may be knit together in love. I'm in labor until Christ is formed in you. That's this passage. That I may present every man, woman, complete in Christ. We are to grow up in all aspects to him who is the head. I'm working on the centrality of Christ. All right? Remember Michael Horton's book? Daisha's been working her way through it. Christless Christianity. Christless Christianity. What does it mean to be in Christ for Christ to be our living head? You think on that, and that's our introduction for the morning. It's rooted in people who love God. We pray that this would be so, that your word would dwell in us richly, that there it would warm our hearts, but not merely for that feeling that we all like elusively seek. Father, just thinking of the simple, choose you this day whom you will serve. It's me and my house will serve the Lord. And you realize sometimes it's going to be a battle. What are these Galatian believers to do? They're independent. They chose to follow Christ. And what happens if Paul's words don't make sense and this other guy's or whoever they are, their words make more sense? And Father, would you help us? Help us not to set up, as we read the flip side of church's family last week, help us not to set up these wrong images in our head of what the Christian life is supposed to look like and the fantasy of faith as we look at Habakkuk and see the wrestling that takes place. Would you help us, Father? Would you help us to not seek a joy that isn't rooted in you, to not seek truth that hasn't been scraped clean of even our presuppositions, but recognizing this can't happen all at once. And Father, we just heard in there, you did not choose me, but I chose you. All the Father gives will come to me. And we start recognizing that on all this wrestling that we're talking about, there is a foundation that's sure. There is a place of assurance, of confidence. And so would you help us today as we are where we're at? We assemble here, yes, to learn, to sing, to be encouraged, to grow, but we assemble to take our place among the redeemed. And so, Father, would you do your work in among your people as we work in the engine room of our soul here, and then as we come to the worship service, and then we sit under your word, we sing together, we pray together. Father, would you work your purposes in and among your people? Thank you for each here. Pray for those sick, for Megan home with baby, for other things that are going on in people's souls. I pray, Father, for the work of the gospel being rooted in our lives and for your purposes to be accomplished. Not only here, but in, Father, other churches around the community, around the country that are seeking to head in this direction as well. Would your name be glorified and honored? We come in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this whole discussion has been working on what does making disciples of Jesus include. And as we've talked through that, we looked at these some of these different passages, and I said these are just a start. I threw them up there to show that there are pieces in discipling that perhaps we're not focusing on and need to just sit under them for a while. We looked at different ones at different times here, and this we just briefly looked here at Galatians 4 again today. But then we looked at principles or assumptions here that for all our talk about discipling, it's the fruit, not the root of our following Christ. We don't disciple and then all of a sudden that makes us saved. You get your identity right, John 15, and the mission will follow. And we're saying there is no mission that doesn't include making other disciples. Back to what Tracy said, it's not, look, I did a fruit. These are my disciples. I brought them to Christ. Look, they did a fruit. These are my disciples. Okay, fine. When you get the identity right, the fruit's there, and it takes place. So then Paul can say, my children, whom I in labor till Christ is for me. You could say that, but the focus is on our following Christ. While going too deep into the things of God without application, as we've talked round and around, some of you say, all right, fine, I get it. And I said, no, you don't get it until you're helping others to get it. It can leave God's truth seemingly irrelevant for life and service. Application without careful foundation leads to life and service with a gaze away from Christ. That last part, that's a key difference as we look, as I study around. Like I've told you, on many church websites, the first thing they say is connect, how to connect. And if you're not careful, they're looking to connect where they fit, rather than saying we connect to the head and we then join him tied to a group of people, and from there our gifts are used. So what's the difference? Many other churches, they're going to focus then here's all the different ways we're out reaching the lost. Okay, but if you didn't get a careful foundation, your life and service will be a gaze that looks away from Christ. We said not just with outside ministries, with how we encourage one another in here. You had a bad week. I'm sorry. Hope it goes better this week. What do you know about their week? Maybe they should have had a bad week. Maybe their hearts aren't where they need to be. How do you encourage them in the Lord? You don't just say, well, good, have another bad week. God's trying to teach you something. You don't say that either. Well, then you need to study it for a while. What would encouraging in the Lord look like? A careful foundation leads to life and service with a gaze away from Christ. We don't want that. We want then whatever ministry that goes out, as we go out across the street or around the world, as we sang, as you go to work, as you're at home with your neighbors, you want it. I've been thinking about that with my neighbors, all right? And increasingly, they're becoming, well, we go to church when it fits, all right? And, oh, well, they even go to a church where the pulpit might be something we would agree with. And I thought, okay, well, then somehow even the pulpit that we might agree with, is they're not feeling obligated to be there. Why? We don't want to get them to church. We want a life that's centered on God's word like this, like we were just talking about. But how do you come alongside them? It's an intentional. Remember Rosario Butterfield over there? The gospel comes with a house key. There should be hospitality, but it isn't about your apple pie. But if your apple pie is yucky, then go buy one from Walmart at least, all right? And give them something else. Yeah, see, you look, I can do better than Walmart. Well, good, then have them over and do your pie. But they're not there for the pie. That's part of it. Care for them. But you're investing in lives, okay? So we said, what would be some of the inhibitors? You go, well, I don't know. This is my love language. I'm trying to reach out, trying to minister. We said, okay, fine. You be you and I be me and all that stuff. But if we're looking to head in the general direction that God would have us to do with getting his name, the gospel out, and caring for souls. People aren't your little project there, right? Well, then what are some of the inhibitors that keep us from, and this is all the stuff you said, okay? But then we said, watch out from oversimplifying the situation. Even when we're talking about healthy things like identity in Christ, and they need to believe they're forgiven. And remember, I read about 9 of them that David Pollison talked about in How Sanctification Works. He said, watch the word just. If they would just have this, then all the other. He said, depending on the person, there's a different just. There's so much in Scripture. When you say, well, no, it's easy. Well, tell Paul that, because he's struggling with them. And to him, it wasn't like, I guess I've failed. This is what it looked like to not only care for people to get to the gospel, but to maintain the gospel in their lives. Watch out from analyzing and intending without actively following. There's a couple of us in here that will talk endlessly and never do it. Do it. You have to be willing to do it wrong in order to do it right. There's so much fear of man in us as we care for other people. You know, I walk away from you thinking, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, Lord, help me forget it. And then I'm Eeyore enough to think, well, they're only going to remember what I wish they would forget, and they're going to forget all the rest. Stop, John. Right? Stop. Let God sovereignly use these earthen vessels, right? Seeking solutions or growth without including the necessary pieces for change. And I hope you'll work off of the pyramid that we've been talking about here, realizing whatever you notice that needs to change in your life, in their life, you think it needs to change, there's a lot of other pieces that are involved that if you don't deal with those pieces, they're at best, they're going to change for fear of man, for you. Or because they're scared of you. You don't want that with your kid. Your kid only changes because they're scared of you. That's fine. If they need to obey when they're younger because you said so, fine. But eventually, they're going to have to willingly choose to be disciplined, to be discipled, to be trained. And that's the same. So then if we went through what is needed to fight the fear of man. And we said we have to find all these different places where the fear of man shows and apply the gospel to them. Not just say, well, it's easy, trust God. It's easy. Don't fear man. No. What are the pieces of fearing man? What my fears of being rejected and all those. Well, I don't know, God accepts you. Well, obviously that's not enough. So then we have to go back and think, why is it not enough? What would it need for me to be able to live in Romans 8? I'm convinced that nothing will separate me from the love of God. So we worked on different pieces, giving different examples. Okay, let me see here. Now we come to the last one here last week. What would be some of the inhibitors to us cultivating this germ of following Jesus ourselves, helping others to follow Jesus? Seeing the church as a consumer. Remember I said if we're not careful, I feel like Christians today are either holy takers or unholy takers. Unholy takers like, I don't care. This either works for me or it doesn't. And then we kind of just show up at church, get what we need, and then go about the rest of our life. Or holy takers saying, I just want it. I just want all these godly influences, all these perfect things going on. Good, I do too. Remember, we've said this for years. How come it's only the pastor and his family that has to sacrifice their kids to be with other kids when you say, I don't want my kids with other kids, and we get to all this, and we go, well, I never said that, and you go, well, that's what ends up happening. We're gonna have to stop seeing the church as a consumer, which is why we're working with the youth group to say the church is a group of people created and loved by God, tied by their relationship to God. And then it goes on. But if we're tied by our relationship to God, there's gonna be a lot of messy things. Not tied by their relationship to you or me or them, tied by our relationship to God. 1 Corinthians 12 said, He placed each in the body as He saw fit. Well, then we have to deal with the mess that we read in Galatians 4 and plenty of other passages, but we'll just let it be for now. Okay? Okay, so we read the church's flip side of the family last week. It was very helpful there. I'd like you to, some of you asked for that article. Cindy has it tied on the website to the notes, and you can look it up there, okay? So again, I'm excited. You get a sticker if you find that on the website, all right? Say, I did, I found it. Good, then tell somebody else so they can find it, all right? The PowerPoint slides are up there as well. All right, and then remember that. You go to the other messages, and then you need a password, and it'll be Living Faith, capital L, capital F, one word, and then you'll find that there. But now, here's the simple answer, right? We're done with all the heavy stuff, and we said all we're looking for is churches that would follow Jesus. Here's the question, okay? How would following Jesus deal with these inhibitors to helping others follow Jesus? Now, Ellie's going to work on that while you look at that, all right? Now, that is the summary of, go back, there. These are the things you said. You're going to have to look online to find that, or else you have to have taken notes on your own. What would be some of the inhibitors to us cultivating this germ of following Jesus? How about the other? Oh, we're busy lives, can't connect with others because of schedules. We think of we need to think of others higher than ourselves, etc. So many competing visions or agendas. Fine, you do you, I do me. I don't mean to judge. It's not my place. All these other things. It's just like after a while, there's no way to get in until something tragic happens, and then all you can do is bring a lasagna. You're like, well, I don't know, but maybe I could bring you a meal. Well, that's great, but you didn't care for their soul. How do we care for people's soul before all the crazy stuff happens? All right? So you said stuff. I can't keep it all up on the wall. So we're going to just leave this one on the wall, and that's my gibberish. And my goal in saying that, I don't think it's gibberish. I think these are very important. But my goal is that you would unpack these, that we would talk amongst ourselves about this. But how, here it is, how would following Jesus deal with these inhibitors? Want to see the answers, or do you want to see that one? All right, I'm going to leave it at that one. Ellie, you got to write on the next one. How would following Jesus help deal with some of these things that can slow down or stop us helping others follow Jesus? How would following Jesus, and with that, you don't have to just answer what you see up there, especially if you're not following what I'm saying. Think about anything else that makes it hard to help others follow Jesus. How would you following Jesus deal with some of the things that help break down some of the walls that keep us from helping others follow Jesus? You got it, Dave? Go. You're writing on the next one, right, Ellie? Here we go. What are you thinking, Dave?
I'm just thinking that you would still be zealous about the opportunities to care for people's physical needs, you know, whether it's taking a meal or helping them get their car fixed or whatever you can do. You know, when those physical needs show up, it's good that we're attentive to them, but they're really just opportunities to try to care for somebody's soul, try to care about their deeper need, their greater need, while you're caring for the stuff on the surface. And I think if we're really following Jesus, like, you're literally overwhelmed or compelled in a way to care about the deeper things while you're doing it. And if you find yourself just saying the nice things while you drop off the meal and doing nothing more, then you're not really following Jesus.
Do you hear that?
And that's one of the things that drives me crazy. I try to be nice to people. You know, if I'm buying a coffee at Sheetz, I try to thank the person for working, you know, and just give them a little kindness. But if I walk out and leave them with nothing else, I feel very badly about that.
Yeah, right? Take your fear of man, right? Remember Jim Berg? We all know how to meditate because we all know how to worry. So anything you think you should be doing in the right way, look at where you do it in the wrong way, right? Say, oh, I'm really good at worrying. Okay, well, no, you're good at meditating on the wrong things. Worrying is imagining a world where God is not king, right? If he's not king, because otherwise you'd cast your care, humble your...
going the opposite direction of Dave in that he says, you know, going in and saying something kind to the individual and then, okay, not sharing the gospel, let's just say, and he walks out. But at the same token, the person alongside the road with the flat tire, you don't pull over and go over and witness to them, but you don't help them with the flat tire either.
Right.
There's a balance, I think, where...
Right. And that's what I mean, is sometimes you're not going to get there. But the point isn't, we're not writing a manual for, in these cases, you must give the gospel or you're going, or you don't love God. In these cases, don't give the gospel. You offended them. You made them never, ever to want to hear the gospel again. There's something deeper. That's what we're saying, is you've got to get his words abiding you. You go, well, God, I memorized all these verses and I spit them all back to them. How? Take my yoke and learn. Don't be better than the disciples who he got on them for their squabbling about who's greatest, all right? Well, who's greatest in here? Remember? Who makes the best mashed potatoes in here, right? And then you realize that's a subjective thing, right? We'll get the top five in here and then we'll go, no, I don't mean to pick on them, but those are not the best potatoes. And we'll go, they absolutely are the best. See, there's a subjective thing there. But we're talking about God. We're talking about following Jesus. He is the Holy One, not us. John 15. Okay? So while looking for deeper needs, can't follow Jesus without being compelled to look for signs. But do what you can see. And then I'm just going to counter that, too, with the book that we keep talking about, when helping hurts. When helping hurts. Okay? I'm going to say watch when helping hurts. All right? That's a book title. Okay, that deacons read about how to do benevolence and care, because we've been accused in the United States of throwing money and things at people. Oh man, look at, you know, they need tires. Well, man, can't we just all, for Jesus' sake, help them buy these tires? Sometimes. And sometimes study their life. Maybe they need to buy 3 less Auntie Anne's pretzels. How do you say that? Ooh, careful. You're right, careful. Don't you dare help somebody else out and then watch that they went and bought an Auntie Anne's pretzel and say, I'm never giving them money again. No, didn't say that. This is touchy. So you do what you can. On the other side, you have to think, what am I strengthening? What am I strengthening? And like she said, the flat tire, you have no idea. You have no idea. So you're doing a ministry of mercy. But that's, you have to think through the bigger picture. As member, that's one of the things that cut us down on short-term mission trips, is we realize, what are we strengthening? When we went, do we have somebody that's solid down there? Do you realize how much pressure it puts on even good missionaries to have 30, 40 kids come in there and do what? That they have to repair the damages afterwards? That's implying you have solid missionaries down there. And that member, I told you in Mexico, one of the things that concerned us is when they kept saying, what are you going to give us? Last group gave us this and this and this. And I thought, all right, so there's pieces here. Yes, care for what you can see and be willing to be had, but then think, you know what? I don't think this is the best now. Care for getting their soul needs, but you got to think, do they have a platform for receiving? What am I expecting? You go, well, I don't know. I'll just drop the seed and God will use it. Do you realize how much Christian lingo is in our lives? Don't ask somebody if they need to be saved. What does that mean to most people? What is saved? What do you think sin is? Sin is eating too many jelly donuts. What is sin? You need to be saved from your sin. And they go, yes, I need to be saved from my sin. I need to lose weight. Right? That's not sin. We have a whole vocabulary that has to be grounded. And you go, well, we don't have time for that. Yes, do the best you can. But that's why I love the Cindy's doing a good job of finding different kinds of tracks now. The two roads tracks is very helpful. Okay? And a tract is for a certain group of people, and then another tracts for another. But you're just mostly looking to interact with souls, back to what Dave said. Sandy, and then to Jonathan. What? How would following Jesus, there you go, it's there.
I'm thinking about how we don't avail ourselves of Jesus. When it says following Jesus, we do not avail ourselves of Jesus when we are discipling. We're forgetting that he comes alongside of us. And if we understood that, yes, he's greater than us, but he is there for us in all these situations. But I was also thinking about the woman at the well and the oversimplifying the solution. Jesus didn't simplify things, but he got to the heart of the matter when he was speaking to people. And sometimes I feel we're often left field with people talking about anything and everything but what needs to be said. And I don't know how to deal with that, with the oversimplifying the solution, because often when you go to speak to somebody about salvation and Christianity, they have no clue and they don't really want to. But then that falls back to the, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me too. So I don't know. That was confusing.
No. That's the whole point of, if we just have cut and dry answers, good. Write a book and sell it and everybody will do it and we got the problem fixed. Okay? We have to follow these things down, down to their roots. While not oversimplifying, Jesus got... Jesus got to main issue. Now, again, this doesn't mean with every person that that's going to work like that, all right? We have an instance there with that. On the flip side of that, Jesus said, told the disciples, go to a town. If they receive you, great. If they don't, shake the dust off your feet, right? And move on to the next one. All right, so he didn't say, well, you did it wrong, dummy. Here, let me show you how to do it, and you can woman at the well too. All right, so, but she's right. So what she's saying is, are you looking, if you don't even know where you're going with somebody, how are you going to get there? That doesn't mean you get there. That's what we were saying about the pyramid here. This is where you're trying to get. You said, well, are you trying to get so that you're a good Christian in helping people? Well, that's wrong. All right, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. Are you trying to be an imitator of God as beloved children? All right, if you are, what's the proof that you were, Ephesians 6, where pastor's working off of, all right, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. So that's what she's saying. If, do you avail yourself of what Christ has promised as you go out? Or are you very conscious of, well, if I say this, they'll say this. I'll say, all right, some of us are in that, I don't care, I'll say it anyway. No, careful. Some of us are in, remember, somebody years ago told me, I think I'm so busy building bridges, I'm not willing to burn them. And that goes to what she was saying. She said, they might hate you anyway. We just read that in John 15. So if you're so worried about showing that Christians are likable people, you missed it. You missed it. You have to be willing to burn a bridge. You have to be willing to burn a bridge. Or else those verses, you're not following Jesus. If they hated you, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Okay, fine. Just make sure they hate Jesus for the right reasons. And realize that you're going to be paying for what everybody else in there, every other supposed Christian has done before you. Realize that. You know that. It's not just, why are they so mad? You ought to ask, yeah, why are they so mad? And you don't know. It was just the sheets guy. You don't know. Sheets girl. You don't know. You don't know what's going on. Leave that to God. All right? So remember, he is with us. I was thinking, Let us boldly come to the throne of grace so we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Are you doing that? You say, Lord, help me, help me. How was I reach this soul? All right, why are you reaching this soul? Stop. I'm living. I'm working. My Father's working, Jesus said. All right, so there's something, I think Harold said it yesterday, about whatever we were talking about. He said it relieves the burden from us as we're able to just say, hey, I'm tired. This wasn't what I was planning to do. I'd rather sit in my chair. I'd rather do this and that. You know what? This happened. And you know what? I'm going to go out there tired and wishing I was in my chair or whatever. But this was good. This is what Jesus had for me. All right? Tomorrow I'll sit in my chair. All right? Remember, I talk to my pillow when I leave it. I'll see you in a few hours. I'll see you in a few hours. Okay? And then you let it go. Can't stay with my pillow, right? And so here, remember, and then that's, what else is he? You know, Jesus is our righteousness, and you say, where do I need righteousness? When you think, I've messed up. You think, good, God's looking at me, not because of my righteousness, his. So what do? Confess my sin. You are the righteous one. I don't know. They say I messed up. I can't tell. I feel like I messed up. The easiest thing is to say sorry. I need to think through this a little bit here. There's too many pieces. All right, like Sandy's saying, am I making sense? You know, that's your common thing about John David. It's like, what in the world is he saying? Why doesn't he just say it? We're drowning in three-point answers. You struggle with worry? 1, 2, 3. Good, it's gone. Come on, Windows for Dummies works for plugging it in and a few other issues. But if you're really going to understand your computer, you got to know deeper than the Windows for Dummies. I think that book is pretty fat. And so we got to stop saying that God's ways are higher than ours and think, well, you need to just, all right? There's so many different justs in this room. There's so many different personalities. It's going to take some muddling through this and then doing what you're saying. Just start from where you're at and then keep going back to what God has promised. Jonathan, go.
So we've been talking about where a lot of the difficulty comes is mm-hmm. because it's a complex solution mm-hmm. in part because it's very situational, and so we can't go to the Bible, for example, with finding God's will for something. We can't go to the Bible and say, oh, this verse right here says that I shouldn't take this new job because it pulls me away from church.
Yes.
We know God's will by knowing him, becoming like him, and learning to think through different situations more like Christ. And I was thinking on 1 John 2:5-6, but whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. As we know God personally, become more like him, it will help give us a roadmap to think through these different situations from different angles with different people. And brings a lot of other things, like fear of God instead of fear of man as we deal with these, or like the endurance needed to continue.
Yeah, and remember what you said? Every single one of the things that, don't draw these, Ellie, every single one of the things that we were talking about, you know, he's like, oh, here's fear of man, right? Rejection. Okay, and you say, I can't. Every one of these has pieces to get rid of. And that's why, you know, in one sense, we need to think through all these pieces. I'm thankful for groups like CCEF, and I'm going to read something from the Biblical Counseling Foundation or whatever. I'm thankful, but you say, it's too much, then what do you need to do? Love God. Love God with all your heart. And then we love him because he first loved us. It's easy. You say, how do I love God? Study what he has done for me. And then you start, and you say, he hasn't done anything for me. Look at your attitude when you say that. Say you feel that. Well, fine, say it. But if God has done something good for you while you're saying he hasn't done anything for me, well, that speaks more about him than you if we find out at the end that he actually has. He actually has. So love God and then know God. There's a reason why J.I. Packer's Knowing God just keeps coming back as a perennial foundational book for people to be reading. Go ahead, read it. Knowing God. And you don't get to the end of that and say, now I know God. But it should whet your appetite and you go back to scriptures again and you say, why didn't I see this? Why was I just reading my devotions and I wasn't even devoting myself to God? All right, was there anybody else? Where is it? Darla, go. Darla, then Ellie.
All right. This is similar to some other things, but I just this week was praying. And I think that's the, like we've already said, the first thing is pray and ask God to help you to grow.
And if you lack wisdom, go.
Is taking baby steps. What Sandy was saying, and for myself, you talk about personality as a person that used to be super shy.
Go, Darla.
None of you really know that side of me, like as bad as it used to be. Not even Darren. And so God's taught me over all these years to stretch and stretch and to be able to talk to strangers and acquaintances and friends and to enjoy talking to people. So I can talk to someone in the store about anything, like Sandy said, except for God. And so to take baby steps, and this week I told myself, okay, if I get to start talking with somebody about anything, I'm going to try. Lord, help me. And Diana encourages me to find something spiritual and biblical. So I did, but it was only about like one half a sentence. And then it, you know, the person said, oh yeah, I believe that too. And that was it. So I guess baby steps would be, you know, like, okay, so I think, well, next time, Lord, help me to take the next step rather than after just saying something to God, then Lord, help me to be able to say the next thing. So that was just the point of just praying for God's wisdom to take the next. And I think we're all there. We all need baby steps.
That's why this is a one-room schoolhouse here, and that's why I'm talking so wide. You want it individual? A healthy church, then you'll be, as you interact with each individual, you're going to apply these things in a different way, and some of it is going to end up going, you know what? You know, I've had people do this to me plenty of times. Like, some people come and talk to me right away and are glad to. Other people go, you know what? I'm scared of you. You were creepy. All right? I thought, yay, they finally said it. Took 5 years for him to say it. And you know what? All of a sudden, after that happens, they go, I was scared of you, but then I saw this and this and this and that. I don't know. I put a sign on my head. I'm not scary. You know, like that. That's not good. You can't fit. You have your personality. You have your background. People have their experiences. You can't get past that. What Darla's saying, when she goes shy or whatever, she has to learn. I don't know what makes up that shyness. I know I was told to go to God. If any of us lack wisdom, go to God. And then she said, I know I'm supposed to love my neighbor. Well, I don't know how to do that. And blah, 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 blah. And then she realizes, well, I'm going to have to get over my pride and just go blah, blah, blah. And, well, was that heading in the right direction? See? And we're going to get over our pride of trying, I'm not doing it till I do it right. Where do you? Some of us need to talk less. Others need to talk more. There's a whole bunch of different things in here. We're heading. All right, Ellie, say it and we're done. Brian, is she on? Thank you. Go, Ellie.
Oh, yeah. With a combination of Jonathan and Darla's.
Yeah.
For ours, the Christian stewardship, I think we got to go back to the foundation of Bible reading and prayers, and then with our prayers, it shouldn't focus on the worldly things, like what we're studying in a women's fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when we pray for mostly like jobs and then house and then finances and everything, but sometimes we forget to pray for the heart that matters, like how God will mold their attitude, the biblical, yeah. godly character, the patience, and perseverance, and things of such, that we kind of like, as a Christian steward, we know what matters most are the spiritual things, not the worldly things. So going back to the basic of Bible reading and prayers, and prayer for those spiritual things.
There you go. So, and again, like Tracy was saying in the beginning one, we're not looking for either or, all right? Anybody prays for you to get a better job is very carnal, all right? We're saying that he says that not a sparrow falls apart from the Father knowing. But you're saying the same thing. Where are we focusing in these habits of grace, Bible reading and prayer? And that's a big thing. If you're not reading your Bible, forget it. You're not meditating on his word. But then what are you looking for in there? You're like, I want to get fixed. What is it about you getting fixed? It's about you seeing God and seeing his plan. I don't care about God and his plan. Whoops, that's a problem. Right? So we got to pray for that. When will we pray for it? Well, help my dear sister. She has a headache. Good. Good. Pray for her headache. And I hope you say, and what else? If her headache gets fixed, what else do you want to see, Lord, in her life that I'm not seeing? Would you form, help the eyes of her heart to be enlightened so she would know the hope of his calling? Lord Jesus, would you help us as we continue down this messy path? But it's what you called us to. Help us to love souls, because we recognize we are a soul that has been shown grace. And if we don't feel that grace, help us to realize it's grace to even be anywhere around your word, your people, around people that have your spirit. Father, praying for salvation for any that don't know and understand the gospel. I'm praying, Father, for the humility to be able to say, I don't know. I'm not where they are. I don't understand. But I do think that following you goes in this direction. Lord, would you hold us, keep us in accordance with your word. And we come in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you much.